My next guest is Dr. Ophelia Zepeda, a poet and linguist who's devoted her life to the preservation of native languages. She's a Regents Professor at the University of Arizona and the recipient of a MacArthur Fellowship. She's also the frequent host of a radio program broadcast in Tohono O'odham. It's called Desert Voices, heard every Sunday here on KUAZ. Ophelia's latest collection of poems is called Where Clouds Are Formed, but I started our conversation by asking her about her role as the Poet Laureate of Tucson.
Well, there is a title that's given by the city of Tucson, and I'm not sure how exactly it evolved, but several years ago I was asked if I would accept that title, and I agreed to. And it's one of those titles where you pretty much sort of define your job. You know, you do whatever it is that you want within that title. So it's pretty flexible.
Did you begin to write poems with that in mind?
Well, actually, one of the pieces that is in this new book sort of evolved from when I was asked to take on that title. Because when you're given that title, you know, you go before city council and they proclaim you and they give you a nice plaque and so forth. They also ask you to write something reflecting the area of Tucson. And so there is a piece in here that is part of that piece that I wrote for that specific event. Mm-hmm. So, but otherwise, the rest of my work doesn't necessarily tie to that particular role. You know, I was doing other types of writing or on other areas, including Tucson, you know, as a topic.
In your poetry, a lot of times you evoke images that linger on reflection and private places. In today's world, how do you go about creating that sense of place for yourself when you write?
I find that oftentimes during the regular semester that it is difficult to, find a chunk of time to be able to focus on writing. But that's not to say that ideas for poems don't happen then. So when those ideas come about, I somehow have this sort of storage bank in my head. You know, I keep them somewhere in there. And as soon as the weather starts to change, that is when it starts to get hot, I know I'll have time. And so I'm able to do a lot of sort of concentrated writing in the summertime. And then also during the regular semester breaks, you know, I can set aside time to do that and to sort of bring, you know, some of those ideas forward. Some of them develop into something and some of them don't. You know, so I have this, you know, odd schedule of writing. And I like, you know, writing early in the mornings and late at night for some odd reason. And then I can also write in, you know, airport lobbies or whatever you call them, and hotel rooms when I'm there by myself, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm one of these people that can find these unusual times and spaces to write in.
Do you ever find a kind of an incongruity between taking the poems that were written from a private place and then presenting them in front of a room full of people, some of them who may not even mm-hmm. know of you until mm-hmm. they enter the auditorium?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is, it's, it used to be harder for me to do that, you know. I would share things or read things that I knew people had some familiarity with, you know, it was more general and not so maybe personal.
Are there advantages of the language, though? Are there things that you feel as a poet that you can do in your native language better than in English?
I think so. As a speaker and someone who is, you know, raised by parents or, you know, very traditional and only had O'odham as a language, you know, they didn't have English at all. You know, I sort of have a different view on the world. And so speaking in O'odham or writing in O'odham or creating in O'odham, I think, has that special advantage, you know, than, say, writing in English. And certainly I know there are topics that are much more suitable for O'odham than English.
Can you give us an example?
I mean, I tend to write a lot about the desert environment here and things having to do with environmental changes, say, from winter to summer, you know. And O'odham people seem to be very sensitive to those changes because they can be quite subtle, you know. And so the language handles, you know, that those, you know, small changes in whether it's the wind or the way the sun is shining or the heat. For instance, the way the desert smells when it first rains early in the summer or late in the spring, when it smells like creosote or some dry desert plant, being very sensitive to that and wanting to speak about that in a certain way. You know, like, is that, at least that's something I know that transfers. You know, many speakers of English and people who've lived here in Tucson acknowledge that change and can speak about it. You know, they recognize it. It makes an impact on them physically and emotionally. But it's always done that to all them people.
Ophelia, could you tell us about the piece you've chosen to read?
Yeah, the piece is called Okatia Memorial. And this is a description, actually, of something I saw in the desert west of here. We were just taking a walk one Sunday morning, my husband and I, and he saw it first, I think. It was a candle sitting by an Okatia plant. But when we looked closer, it was a memorial. So there was a candle there and also a photograph of a woman, a young woman, and a pair of large kind of dangling earrings. So those were left there as part of, I'm assuming, this woman's memorial. And so that's what this piece is about. Okatia Memorial. Walking in the desert, we come upon a memorial site. Holy Family candle long melted. Photograph of a young woman with dangling earrings. Her memory marked by a stand of Okatia. In spring, they will burst red-orange blossoms. Branches will bend forward. Birds, insects will visit. All around her are the Tucson Mountains. Brown, mottled, volcanic stone stand guard. This string of mountains, flight path for Tucson International Airport. On approach, the cabin becomes quiet. Passengers buckle up. Tray tables are stowed. Seats are in upright position. The plane flies low above the memorial site, acknowledging the woman with the dangling earrings.